Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, founder of Agency Revolution. We make it easy for you to automate your systems, engage your customers, and grow your agency or brokerage. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where we explore the trends, innovations, challenges, and the solutions to the biggest problems facing today's retail agent or broker. I want to welcome our special guest of today, Neil Stanley. Neil has over 30 years' experience in the management and direction of insurance companies and insurance agencies. He's been associated with the United Valley Insurance Services since 2002. He joined their team as Executive Vice President to manage United Valley's retail agency and to lead the agency acquisition program. Neil has served on the board of directors of various industry organizations, and he's an active member of the State Bar of California. Well, Neil, so thank you very much for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. How are you today?
Michael, I'm doing marvelously. Thank you.
All right. So I want to start at a topic that I know is near and dear to you, something that you've observed. You keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening in this industry as well as anybody that I know. You work very closely with agencies and brokerages as well as with companies. Let's talk about the impact of technology. I'd like to get your assessment of the impact of technology on today's insurance agency model.
I think this is a primary area of development over the next 10 years, and we have accelerated so much over the last 5 years to get to where we are right now. Mm-hmm. As everyone's probably pretty aware that, you know, we were still in the dark ages 10 years ago and kind of came into the middle ages around 5 years ago. And now technology has really accelerated significantly in the kinds of things that we do. I know that, you know, Michael, your company has been at the forefront of really pushing some of the technology, the new technology, forward for agencies.
I'd like to think so. Think
and I
so.
Think that more agencies are beginning to grasp the need for it. The thing that is really interesting, besides just the technology's impact on individual agencies currently, is the new marketing models that are coming out right now. I am involved with three clients currently.
Mm-hmm.
Who are talking and considering selling their agencies or doing a joint venture with a tech company that will actually market product through phones.
Uh-huh.
And other devices. It's incredible how quickly it's moving along. Another client of mine recently lost their chief operating officer to BizInsure, and that organization, she was really overtaken by the opportunity to be able to be at the forefront of
right.
really being able to market small commercial business on the internet as opposed to the normal agency model. So this. The kinds of things that are happening right now that are being driven by technology, we've got a lot more people coming into the space, our insurance space, that were never in it before, because they see it as a industry that really is ripe for picking. The technology, those that are really involved in technology really see it as an opportunity for them to change the model significantly. And that model, you know, the model that we work off right now has
right.
been in existence for many, many years. It's changed slightly over the period of time that I've been involved in the business, but I see dramatic changes happening over the next the next 3 to 5 years.
So, Neil, this is obviously, it's an industry with a lot of cash. It's an industry that has not been disrupted at the same pace as others. I mean, obviously, we've seen other industries completely turned upside down. Our sense is that the venture capital community is looking at this industry and now investing pretty heavily into this industry, attempting to, well, frankly, they probably want our customers is what they want. So I'm curious, you because you work with so many agencies, what's your level of confidence about the industry's ability to keep up, the industry's ability to innovate? And then I'll be curious what you think agency managers must do to survive and thrive?
Well, my level of confidence is really, it spreads a wide path.
If
an agency owner really focuses and says, things aren't going to change, I'm going to stay where I am right now, that particular individual is really going to get run over by what's happening. We can see it already. The compensation that we're receiving is being cut right now. And why is it being cut? I mean, this is in personal lines. It's being cut because the carriers are receiving less compensation, or pardon me, they don't have the interest income that they used to have.
Right.
They're having a lot more aggressive intrusion into their base model by companies such as Geico and Progressive, but also by Esure and others that are basically subverting the current the common model of agency based relationships. So to compensate them or to get them back to a point of profitability, they're cutting the commissions of the agencies.
Yeah, Neil, can I?
Most agents are just complaining about that, as opposed to saying embracing it and saying, "What are we going to do to bring more value back to our companies and automate and get involved in that aspect of our business?"
Neil, let me interrupt with a question, because you raised a really important trend. We're seeing our channel challenged by potentially outside disruption and new technologies, and as a channel, we tend not to be terribly adaptive. We don't change very quickly. Then we see carriers perhaps reducing commissions. This potentially could sort of signal a death spiral. In other words, if we're committed to this channel, I think it's it potentially is dangerous to weaken it. What do you think about that?
I do. I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree.
I know the carrier. If you're sitting in the boardroom of a carrier, you're the CEO, and you've got to deliver shareholder value. You've got to make some decisions, and obviously, you need to focus on profitability. But it strikes me, and I know carriers are not listening to me for advice on commissions, because I'm an advocate for the agent and broker channel, but it does concern me that if commissions are being reduced, the revenue that we have to make it strong and to build on our strengths are, you know, potentially they could be threatened. What do you think agents and brokers need to do about that?
Well, first of all, what they need to recognize is the fact that the model that they're using is based upon a commission level that is going to change.
Right.
So if the commission level is going to change, what are you going to do to make yourself more attractive and the kinds of services that you're going to offer more attractive to the insurance companies at the reduced level of commission?
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of proposals out there that I've been part of. But critical inside of this is you have to look, as an agent, you have to look at what you do right now. Are you going to invest? It is an investment.
Right. Yes.
Are you going to invest in the technology that will allow you to gain more customers, reduce your overall expense, take less commission, but increase your overall bottom line profits? And that means change. And, you know, Michael, you're you've worked with a lot of agents, you know this, they're resistant to change.
Yeah.
But the point is, there's no alternative at this particular point.
There's no alternative.
You change and adapt, or you die.
Uh-huh. All right. So, Neil, I think we're coming to a similar consensus. Our position, of course, is that in order to scale, you need technology. In order for agencies to adapt to the new world, they need technologies that allow them to multiply their efforts.
Correct.
Okay. So let me move on to a related question. I know that you're a bit of a stickler. I've been in board meetings with you, unrelated to this, but I've been in meetings with you where you were challenging the CEO for legitimate data about their customer base. So I know that's important to you. Tell us a little bit about why you think that's so important for insurance agencies and brokerages.
Well, first of all, one of my pet peeves is for an insurance agency owner is not understanding the base customer data that for his agency, his or her agency. They really don't understand. They don't use their management systems to develop that information, and then take that data and drive the conversation with the insurance companies. We know, as an insurance agent, we know who are our customers,
right?
How much volume we get from them,
uh-huh.
In what lines of business,
right?
What direction we're taking, and we need to take that information to the insurance carrier and say, look, we know that you can get more from us if you give us a program or you give us some underwriting guidelines with this particular segment. We can also expand it because we have the opportunities and the contacts to be able to do that. I think that the position we've always taken is, well, the carrier is going to give us the information that they need. You know, here's what they're interested in, and then we'll kind of wander out and produce the business for them.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be much more proactive in driving that conversation. We can't allow the insurance carrier to drive that conversation. We have to drive it.
Right.
We have to come to the table with more data than they have and use that data effectively in being able to leverage more revenue for ourselves. And we've proven that. I mean, we have taken, obviously, United Valley was a membership organization. We have 85 members that mm-hmm. are insurance agencies, and we developed an information warehouse that basically takes all the data at a policy level from all of our members,
right?
And then we use that data to be able to enhance programs for our members and be able to gain more commission. We are actually coming to the table in an insurance carrier conversation with more data about our book of business than they'll ever be able to develop themselves.
Right.
And we're able to guide and develop better programs, more compensation, and be able to develop programs that allow our agencies to grow, because they're going to be very specific in the kinds of things that those carriers want. It's worked out very well for the carrier. And it's worked out extremely well for our member agents and United Valley.
It works out for the agency.
You know, if you don't understand your data, you're waiting for a slow death.
Neil, you're talking about an issue that's dear to our heart, because our technology integrates with the data that's in the agency and broker management systems, and there are a couple of things we discover. One is that often for years it's sort of been a garbage in situation, and so there's a lot of cleanup that needs to happen. But two, once an agency has an understanding of who their customers are, what they have, what they don't have, what the opportunities are, the opportunity for growth is almost unlimited for them. They're sitting on a gold mine that they've kind of been ignoring for 10 or 20 years. And so for agents who are looking for some optimism, there's some optimism there. Most agencies are sitting on a gold mine with their existing customer base that they're just not exploiting. So I appreciate the fact that you brought that up. Neil, when we look at the agency universe right now, we see agents who are young. There are millennials running agencies. There are, that little middle generation. And, of course, there are boomers. And I think they all sort of have a different level of optimism or anxiety about the future. And, of course, one issue that everybody faces is, how am I going to perpetuate this operation? What are you seeing? What are the trends in the area of perpetuation?
It's interesting that you asked that question, Michael. I mean, one of the things that I do right now, one of the primary things I do right now, is advise agency owners on perpetuation.
Uh-huh.
I'm also involved in mergers and acquisitions. I'm working on a couple of acquisitions right now. And the perpetuation pieces range anywhere from, someone calls me up and says, you know, Neil, I'm 65 years old. I really need to think about what I'm going to do to sell my agency. Can you help me?
Right.
And, you know, the thought that immediately runs through my mind, why did you wait till you were 65 years old to call me up and ask me to help you?
Yeah.
And of course I do, but it makes it a lot more difficult at that particular point in time because some of the alternatives are off the table by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's agency perpetuation is something that you really need to start to talk about and think about almost from the point in time when you take over and you're responsible for running that agency.
Right.
You have to plan for what is going to happen, because you never know. You may pass away early. You may decide that you're going to go in a different direction. But you've got to think about, you know, how am I going to perpetuate my company that I've spent this much time developing, and how is it going to be done? Not just for yourself and the economic advantage that you're going to get with
right.
a proper perpetuation plan, but also, how are you going to protect the customers that you have? How are you going to take care of the employees that are basically part of your organization? And if you don't think about those things on a constant basis and have a plan to implement that, even though that plan may change over time for a variety of different reasons, you're going to get yourself into the situation that you're going to be in your 60s and say, okay, well, now I'm going to start to think about it, and you've taken the alternatives off the table, or many of the alternatives off the table. I think agencies are, there's so much in the press about this right now, and I think that more and more agency owners are starting to think about it.
Right.
As I said, I work with probably 15 to 20 agencies right now on perpetuation, and it's very gratifying for me personally because
right.
I know I'm helping them and getting them through a problem, but I'm really would like to encourage all agents, regardless of your age, whether you're a millennial to a boomer, think about perpetuation, think about the things that you need to do, plan for it. You will have a much more effective agency over the term that you're running that agency if you plan effectively for that.
Very good. So I'm going to repeat this. You're saying everybody, every agent, regardless of age, should be involved in a conversation with somebody in the M&A field, somebody like you. They should do that now. There's no excuse for that not to be on their agenda right now.
It should be, whether they contact me or
right.
and someone like that does my kind of work, or they just sit down, read on it, and start developing a plan for those types of things. You absolutely need to do that. It's critical, because what's going to end up, what you really are doing is you're starting to develop the people inside of your organization that one of the key things, the person that's in their 60s that I talked about before, is, you know, they haven't got anybody inside the agency that can take over the agency for them, because they've never thought
right.
about it. They've
right.
never developed anybody. They've never put the effort into it or the capital into it to bring somebody on that's going to be able to do that. So you've taken that particular alternative off the table. And at that particular point in time, the only thing that you really can do is, well, you can do two things. You can sell the agency or just
ride it out,
run it down,
yeah, okay,
and close it at some point in time. But
right.
You'll never get out doing it under those circumstances. So it's really critically important regardless of your age.
Neil, I want to ask a related question. Another way that people are sort of dealing with the challenges of today's environment, it's in some cases it's a solution to the perpetuation problem. In some cases, it's a solution to other problems. But Neil, you are as active and aware of some of the creative ways that the industry has organized itself as much as anybody that I know. Clusters, aggregates, association models, and so on and so forth. They take all shapes and sizes. So I'd like to get your perspective on that. Do you see that as a growing trend, and where do you see that going in the industry?
Yes, I do see it as a growing trend. I think it's absolutely, you have got to, let's take a small agent.
Mm-hmm.
When I came into the business many, many years ago, if you produced $50,000 in premium for an insurance company, you were well regarded. And if you produced $100,000 in premium for that company, you were a star agent for them.
Right.
In today's environment, if you're not able to produce anywhere from $500, and it's really now more like $1 million in premium,
mm-hmm.
On an annual basis for an insurance company, and you're not growing that
right.
that book of business by 10% or more, you're on the borderline. You probably won't get an appointment, and you may lose your appointment if you are appointed by that company. So that, you know, for a smaller agency, that is an enormous hurdle to get over.
Right.
So the only way that to be successful as an insurance agent is to either associate yourself with a larger agency, which of course, and you use your identity as an independent agent, or you join an aggregation, cluster, association model, and use the volume that particular group can provide you, so that it will insulate you to a certain degree from the loss of markets that you have. Obviously. I've worked for United Valley for a long time. We
right.
are an association of about 85 members here
mm-hmm.
in California and Arizona. But I also work with aggregators across the United States. These are all larger group. We recently formed an association of these membership organizations, and together. This group represents about $7 billion in annual premium.
Right,
that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all of significant size, because there are not very many of us. There are probably seven of us involved in that organization. We're all big, but even at the size that we are, we still need to be able to have problems that are common between the things, and the whole emphasis of this organization is to help our individual members
right.
improve their operations, to make them stronger and better, and to generate more premium for
uh-huh.
the insurance companies, but generating that premium on a collective basis as opposed to an individual basis. So they're clearly, you know, for the insurance companies. You know, when clusters really started about 30 years ago,
right.
there were a lot of insurance companies that didn't want anything to do with them. Well, that has changed over time.
Right.
And clearly, they recognize, most carriers recognize, that this particular kind of association is critically important to their growth pattern.
What
critically important to
mm-hmm.
how they manage their business and do it effectively.
Neil, what do you see? What do you see as the benefit to the carriers to have cluster relationships?
Well, first of all, if done correctly, it cuts down their expense.
Right.
Let's get back to we go back to the data that I talked about earlier.
Right. Right.
If you as an association or cluster have data. you want to write cement mixers or
right, okay,
mm-hmm. cement pumpers or whatever yeah. line of business is. We can tell you exactly the agents out there that have this business. We can tell you what kinds of policies they have. We can design programs that will help you generate more business, and it will cut down your expense of going out agent by agent trying to find the policies that you're looking for to fulfill your desires or your needs. We can help you in that regard because we have the data to be able to do that.
Right. Okay. So
it also cuts down, you know, we pre-underwrite, and most associations like us pre-underwrite
right.
the agents that we're bringing in. So mm-hmm. our loss ratios are significantly lower. Our average loss ratio, we sit down with our companies and tell them, our average loss ratio over an extended period of time, taking all lines of insurance,
right.
is under 40%.
Wow.
Well, my gosh, that's hugely
yeah.
profitable
right.
to an insurance carrier.
And of course, that profitability is an advantage to your members as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It gives them better contingent commissions and better opportunities to write new business.
So, Neil, this is interesting. After 30 or so years of clusters, some of the larger ones, I think largely through probably your efforts and your leadership, have formed a national association. That's an indication of maturity in that part of the industry, isn't it? They're
yes,
not going anywhere, right?
We don't
They're,
compete with one another.
Right.
We're all regional,
right?
So that we're not trying to take each other's members
right.
from each other. So that helps. But you know, and there's each one of our organizations has a slightly different model.
Mm-hmm.
But the underlying thing that makes us the same across the board is the fact that we're dedicated to helping our members, and we really deal with professional agents. We deal with
right.
agents that want to grow. We deal with agents that are professionally qualified to do their business, and with agents that produce profitable results for the companies that they do business with and through our organizations. So it's clearly there.
And I suspect they
that's going to continue.
I suspect they get better by being a part of the organization, so everybody benefits. So. Neil, congratulations. I always love talking to you. I always learn so much and get such a clear insight on what's happening in the industry when I talk to you. If any of our listeners want to reach out to you or make contact with you about anything that we spoke here, if they wanted to engage your services, how could they do that?
They can do that through my email, which is neals@unitedvalley.com. They can call me. They can call or text me. My telephone number is 510-541-3809, and I will be happy to respond to them.
All right. Very good.
And I also, Michael, am very, very, very pleased to be able to do this, but especially do it with Agency Revolution. I think that
Thank
you're
you.
Bringing, and this is, by the way, for all the listeners, this is unsolicited. You really bring a fresh and very poignant opportunity for insurance agencies. It's critically important that in agencies that want to grow, want to develop, form a relationship with an organization such as Agency Revolution, which is really dedicated to help them grow and become a more effective and profitable company.
Well,
thank you for the work you do,
Neil. That's very kind, and that was unsolicited. So when we get you here to Bend, dinner's on me. How does that sound?
All right. You got it.
Okay. Well, Neil, thanks so much. And for everybody who joined us, thanks for joining us. And we look forward to talking to everybody in our next podcast. And have a terrific day.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.